Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Good afternoon or evening, Raider Nation. It's Thursday of Chiefs Week as we march toward the 6-3 Raiders' big game on Sunday Night Football against the reigning Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. A game for the ages, perhaps. I'm your host, Scott Gulbranson. For the next 2 hours, we're going to talk Raiders football here on the home of Raider football, Raider Nation Radio 920, and coast to coast and even internationally on our live stream, which you can catch on the Raiders official mobile app or at lvsportsnetwork.com. Whichever one you like, you'll find us there live, where we learn firsthand every day. Raider Nation is nationwide and worldwide. It's a community of brothers and sisters from all walks of life. Coming up on today's show, Evan Grote, host of the popular Just Pod Baby podcast, will join me and sit in on today's show. My usual co-host, Q Myers, is on assignment today in Texas, so he'll be out. He'll be back with us tomorrow. So Evan will sit in for a good portion of the show, and he'll give us his 2 cents on the big Raiders and Chiefs matchup, and he'll jump in on our Raider Nation debate of the week up on Sided. If you haven't taken a part in that, well, go check it out. It has to do with linebackers Nicholas Morrow and Corey Littleton and much, much more. Then top of the second hour, as he does each week on Thursday, Raiders.com digital reporter Levi Edwards will be with us to talk about the Raiders' preparation for this game and another COVID-filled week of distractions. And we'll talk to him on what the Raiders need to do to beat the Chiefs twice in one season. We'll also ask him about the improvement of third-year defensive end Arden Key, who you can read about on our website, silverandblacktoday.com. A nice story up there by our man Nick Cothrell to talk about the play of Arden King. So don't miss that, silverandblacktoday.com. We'll also welcome Silver and Black Today correspondent David Stepanian back to the show. If you're a longtime listener to when we were at a different station with the show, going back a couple years, David will be back. He's got a story on how the Raiders' great Bo Jackson is getting involved with a team here in Las Vegas and at Allegiant Stadium in a way you might not know about. We'll hear his story and welcome in David as well as part of the discussion. And as always, we'll open up the Raider Nation hotline for you, the fans. Sound off. Tell us what you think of this weekend's game. Can the Raiders overcome this COVID-related distraction again to beat the Chiefs at home inside the Death Star? Or are we going to see what we saw when the Bucs and Tom Brady came to town the last time something like this happened? You tell me. Get off your duff, pick up the phone, and give us a call, 702-365-9200. That's 702-365-9200. And come with some juice, folks. Do not call in and fumble the ball. Make the Silver and Black proud and give us your opinion and let it rip. As always, Silver and Black Today is powered by our good friend Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. If you need help, call them. Trust me. These are people I know personally, the only people I would call if I was in that situation. So pick up the call and visit samandash.com. Okay, the good news today, Raider Nation, there has been no more COVID-related news, no more positive tests. After 6 more Raiders were added to the list yesterday as those high-risk contacts due to a positive test from Raiders defensive end Cleveland Furl earlier in the week. So no new positive tests. So breathe a sigh of relief, as the hope is the 6 players, just to rename them again: Jonathan Abram, Malik Collins, Jonathan Hankins, David Irving, Isaiah Johnson, Arden Key, and Kendall Vickers. They're all on track to play on Sunday. They continue to test negative, so hopefully that will continue throughout the rest of the week. Now, they don't get to practice all week. They're watching film by Zoom and doing all this from home, but still, there's an opportunity there. But this week's distraction is just another one for this team. Who else has had this sort of distraction from COVID and all the other things that have happened to this team? It's really remarkable when you look at it. They've been fairly and unfairly criticized for what they have or haven't done regarding containing the virus during the pandemic, but still, they continue to have players test positive. Yes, other teams, they've had players positive too, but for some reason, it seems to be following the Raiders, including a player who tested twice positive. Of course, that's Trent Brown, who looks like he's back on track to get back with the team very, very soon. This week's COVID story around the Raiders appears to be a clean one. I mean, if you look at it from the perspective of, did anybody do anything wrong? No. This is just a situation. This was not violating protocols and somebody was careless. The virus can find its way anywhere. And apparently Corey Littleton and LaMarcus Joyner somehow were exposed. And they are on that list too, as you know. There have been no new reports of wrongdoing, which is a good thing. The Raiders have already paid over $1 million in fines and lost a draft pick due to those practices in the past. But that's the past. Clearly, they learned, and they're moving forward, and it's all about player safety at this point. But still, you can't deny the distractions, and the Raiders team, without its entire starting offensive line the entire season, with key injuries on defense, without its top offensive draft picks for several games, man, they just continue to fight on. It continues to show that their perseverance through whatever this wacky 2020 season wants to throw at them. It's the stuff of winning teams are made of, I think. And this week may be the toughest yet. The Raiders have to face the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs the second time. Yes, they beat them the first time, and Derek Carr outplayed the NFL's current poster boy. But revenge, home field advantage, and more are on the minds of the Chiefs as they roll into Las Vegas. And beating the Chiefs twice is a tough task for a team that hasn't had much history of doing it lately. But this is not the Raiders of the past 17 years. This is a different Raider squad, one filled with young bucks like Josh Jacobs, Max Crosby, Trayvon Mullen, you name it. No, they don't have that loser mentality to me, which is half the battle there. So Derek Carr said the Chiefs rivalry has to be renewed by winning more games. So the Raiders need to win more, right? They did one this year. They've won one. Now Sunday's another opportunity to make one of the great rivalries in sports really matter again. So the stage is set. Despite the distractions, despite the losses of players for practice this week due to COVID, they're going to have the opportunity to go out there. And yes, there's some people, I know a lot of you crave national attention for the Raiders, but there's some people out there still dismissing them, still saying, no, it's going to be a blowout. Chiefs are going to win by 20-some points because the Chiefs are mad. They're mad about the bus. They're mad about losing, and they're coming off the bye week, right? Andy Reid, like 19-4 coming off a bye week. And I get that. It's an advantage. Don't get me wrong. But I just think that, you know, this team, the Raider team, it's been counted out most of the season because of all of the distractions, because of all of the challenges. And they're saying they just don't think they can do it twice. What do you think? 702-365-9200 is the number. I want to hear what you guys really think. You know, hey, look, it's good. You want to think your team can win every game, and that's cool. But I really want to get a sense for how you guys think this game will go down. Why will the Raiders beat the Chiefs a second time? Not just because you want them to, but really, give me some reasons why. Is it because the defense is playing better? And you can say, yeah, they figured out the Chiefs the first time. There's no question. I mean, they were outplayed, they were outcoached, everything. Which is hard. Andy Reid's a good coach. But John Gruden, Paul Gunther, their staffs did a great job of planning that first Chiefs game and really executed well and beat them. It wasn't even close. I mean, it was close score-wise. But if you look at the line of scrimmage and what was happening there and how they contained Patrick Mahomes, it was really, I'm sure, a guideline for how people want to try to play and beat the Chiefs. So it's all good, but just like in anything, it's all about adjustments. The Chiefs have made adjustments since that loss, a lot of them. We talked about it yesterday with our guest Danon Hughes and with Jay Binkley. So if you think the Chiefs are just going to roll out and do what they did last time, they're not going to do that. They're going to come in with a new plan, especially off a bye week, with so much at stake for them. This is a big game. If they lose this game, they're in trouble. Not overall. They still have a 8-1 record. If they were to lose, they'd be 8-2. So, I mean, it's not like the Chiefs are teetering on playoff implications here. But no, they want to get home field advantage. They're right there with the Steelers. And you have teams surging in the AFC. You have the Indianapolis Colts. you have even the Miami Dolphins, 6-3, same record as the Raiders. So the AFC is going to bunch up. It's going to be very, very competitive as it's been all along. But now the Chiefs, they know they got to continue to win and keep that going if they're going to stay where they want to be and be the number one seed in the AFC. So we'll see how that goes. But that's, you know, that's where we're at. We're going to see. And I think that the Raiders have an amazing opportunity to make a splash, not only just for the national attention, which is fine, but for themselves. If they can prove to themselves that they can beat the defending Super Bowl champions twice in one season, twice in 10 games, right? Then, boy, you talk about confidence builder, you talk about momentum on the second half of the season, you just can't buy that. All right, we're going out to our good friend on the Raider Nation hotline. He's going to kick us off today, and that is Gangster Raider. Gangster Raider, what's up, man?
Hey, what's happening, Scott? I just want to tell you, we're going to beat them, and we're going to have to put up at least 45, maybe 50 points. And the way we're going to do it, we're going to do it by ball control. We're going to have to run Josh Jacobs and Booker. We got to run it down their throat, and it's got to be a big game for Waller because Waller going to open it up for Ruggs and Edwards. I think it's going to be a big game for Ruggs and Edwards. Ruggs going to hit them deep, and Edwards going to clean up everything under and across the middle. And we're going to put up at least, I say, anywhere from 48 to 51 points because we're going to have to. We're going to have to outscore them because the defense might be lacking because all the, you know, COVID people that's out. So we're going to have to probably put up 45 or 50 to beat them, which we can do. And if the defense can do like they did in the second half of the first game, we should shut them down to at least no more than 21, 24 points. So I say 48, 24 we should beat them by. And we run down the, you know, I say Jacobs had at least 120 yards. And Booker is close behind with like about 83, between 83 to 92 yards, and we run down it. Those Waller has two touchdowns, and Edwards and Ruggs has a touchdown piece. That's why I think it's going to happen, and you heard it here first from Gangster Raider.
Hey, man, let me ask you, though, too. So in essence, you're saying they need to do what they did against the Broncos, just throw the ball a little more, kind of mix it up a little bit, but you think they're going to have just as a dominant performance on the ground as they did against Denver?
Yeah, we do exactly what we did the first time, except we use the run a little more. I think we got a little bit too pass happy in the first game, but we start off like that. You know what I'm saying? In the first half, we do a little bit more pass, but in the second half, we run the ball down their throat and keep scoring in the red zone with Waller and Edwards. And after we win the game, we do a victory lap around the field, the whole team, to rub it in even more.
Yeah, I love that. Gangster Raider, thanks, man. We appreciate you. You guys agree with Gangster Raider? You think the Raiders are going to score that in 48, 50 points and run on our ground? Boy, if Josh Jacobs had 120 yards and Devontae Booker had close to 100, they might be able to get up there. I don't know if they'll get up to 48 points. My man Gangster Raider likes his points, and I know he's been pretty close on a lot of them, so we'll see how he goes. But I don't know what you think. My issue, though, he talked about Darren Waller there, and I love Darren Waller. Such a great player. Great human being off, and his story is phenomenal. Should have been the comeback player of the year last year, right? But he's had a little bit of case of the drops this year. I there's been times when he hasn't come through when he usually would have. So you got to wonder if it's just a mental game there, and he's just maybe struggling a little bit. Everybody struggles at times. So it's even great players do. So it's not that I'm concerned about him at all, but this would be a great game for him to come along. And I also think, though, they need to use a lot of underneath stuff. They need to go to Hunter Renfro and even Witten. Bring Witten across, too, in those short patterns. He's automatic over the middle, too, underneath with just regularity. So if you could do that, because I think that's the one thing the Raiders can do is run the ball, and then you don't have to go long. You don't have to go vertical. I know they did that more in the first game. But if you can use, you have so many weapons to spread it wide and then to bring it inside too. So why not go to Hunter Renfro more? Why not go to Jason Witten, Foster Moreau? You have so many guys that you can bring in and really, dink and dunk them to death and then run the ball down their throats. And then you might get one or two of them way down the field. The Raiders seem to at least be getting a couple of those a game. Last game, they dropped a couple. But, you know, that's all they need to do, right? That's all. But my concern is really, as Gangster Raider said, on the defense. because, you know, I know Raider fans, especially this week since Travis Kelce has been chirpy, right? But Travis Kelce's damn good, and the Raiders have had trouble covering him throughout his career. And so now that's going to fall to Nicholas Morrow. But we'll see how that all goes. But I will tell you, Gruden, when you ask Gruden about being aggressive against the Chiefs, he talked about that. He said, you know, because if you talk about the game plan last week where they really grinded it out on the ground, and yeah, they got aggressive a couple times, but what is the balance there? And should you be aggressive against the Chiefs?
Well, they're a great team. They're the world champions, and you know, you got to do it, whatever it takes to try to win the game. And that particular day, it just seemed to be, you know, a shootout. There's no guarantee we're going to make a first down this time. So we'll see how it goes, and we'll try to put our players in the best position to win.
And believe me, this is a big game, I know, for John Gruden himself, too. I know he wants to win. You could tell by his voice. I mean, he wants to win every game, of course. But this game in particular, this is a hey, we got a lot to prove game. And if we go out and we win and we do what we did last time, then suddenly your program, you're rebuilding. All of that takes that next level up, and you'll have more believers. And so that's, you know, that's something I know that's on his mind. Now, I mentioned Nicholas Morrow. With Corey Littleton still out, he's going to have to pick up slack with Travis Kelce and be able to cover him. And they asked him about that. They asked Coach Gruden, hey, how is Nicholas Morrow going to be able to handle it?
Yeah, we need help against Kelce. We got to do better. But like I said, I think after the game, no doubt that was Nick Morrow's best game. That was a good game for any linebacker standards. If you go back and watch just Nick Morrow in that game, he made a lot of impact plays, sideline to sideline, effort plays. He did a great job. But we're going to have to be a lot better than we have been against Kelce in the past. He seemed to have dominated against us, and he's dominated the league. So he's a great presence out there, and they know how to use him, and they've got a lot of other weapons that we got to worry about.
A lot of other weapons. Tyreek Hill, you name it. Watkins is going to be back now as well from injury. So you and then you have the running backs, right? Edwards-Helaire, you have Le'Veon Bell. And so the Raiders, you know, how are they going to stop Kelce? Are they going to stop Kelce? And if they don't stop Kelce, then or if they do stop Kelce, I should say, you got all the other weapons they have. So the Raiders have their hands full. Doesn't mean they can't do it. I'm not in any way implying that they can't do it, but it's going to be a tough game. They're going to have to really, really watch out and get these guys back to a situation where they're in control. I think it starts at the line of scrimmage there and controlling that line of scrimmage like they did. So, all right, we're going back on the Raider Nation hotline. We're going all the way to the islands. We're going to Mr. Black in Hawaii. What's up, man?
Aloha, brother.
How you doing, buddy?
All right. Game coming up. Of course, it's the most important game of the season so far, and it's going to have to all be the ball control, you know. Keeping the ball away from Kansas City as much as possible. That's the main thing, of course. Our running game's looking really tough. You know, of course, we just played the Broncos, and they're not near the Chiefs. But with Booker and Jacobs, you know, good ball control, and maybe we can get Ruggs, you know, some of them long passes again. That was his best game against the Chiefs, so
yeah, yep.
You know, ball control and chew up that clock. That's about the only way I see that we can do it, just like the last game.
Yeah, no, so, I agree, Mr. Black. Thanks for your call, man. We appreciate you. Yeah, no, I agree with that because you got to keep Mahomes off the field, right? That's the goal, and that's where I'm so torn because I hear what Gangster Raider was saying about, hey, they're going to score. You're going to have to score 40 some points to win. And while I understand the thought process, and I think it's actually accurate in some ways, in other ways, I'm there with you, Mr. Black, which is you got to grind it out so much that you keep number 15 off the field. You don't want him on the field. So if you're doing 10-minute drives, let's say, That would be a perfect world for the Raiders, right? Just running, 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 pass here, run, then a pass, then a run, and then you score after 10 minutes and just take away all the time. Then you might actually have a lower scoring game. And that helps the Raiders, clearly, because if you keep the Chiefs and that offense off the field, because they can score quick, man. They can score. How many times have we seen them score in 30 to 35 to 45 seconds even on a drive? So to me, if they can do that, if they can grind out the ball, I was the opposite thinking at the beginning of the week, to be frank with you. I'll admit it. I thought, no, they're going to have to throw the ball. And I think they still have to do it in cases, but I do think that you're right there. I think they're going to have to grind it out and make sure that they keep him off the field. That's your best opportunity, is to keep the guy who makes the plays off the field, and that's Patrick Mahomes. Okay, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Evan Grote from Just Pod Baby. We'll talk about the Raiders versus Chiefs. We'll also talk about our sided debate. Where does he stand on the Nicholas Morrow, Corey Littleton, when Corey Littleton comes back? Who should play more? Or should Nicholas Morrow just play more? I guess we'll see a lot more of him on Sunday as well. You're here on Silver and Black Today, powered by Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys, only on Raider Nation Radio.
You know, I just kind of, in my 3 years with Coach Gruden, kind of just let him do that. You know, I know based on what plays he's calling, what he's thinking. You know, I know if there's a certain route, whether it's a clear out or whether it's a route he wants me to throw, you know. And we're just on such a different level, just such a different page of when he's calling a play, it's not just calling a play so I can just chuck it to whoever. He's calling plays for reasons and with a purpose. And us being on that same page and growing together in that way has really helped us and led to that, to where I can just really lean on him and his play calling to kind of push me in that direction. And then he can trust me when he calls something. He knows what I'm looking for if we get the right looks.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
All right, getting some lead out on this Thursday. Yes, sir. Welcome back. Silver and Black Today. Scott Gulbranson with you. Q Myers, day off today. He's covering high school football down in Tejas. He'll be back with us tomorrow. But we are here. We are talking Raider football. No positive test today. Yes. So your Raiders, hopefully get their defensive players back for the game on Sunday against the Chiefs. By the way, for those of you who do wager some action on the game, the Chiefs are 8-point favorites on the road against the Raiders. 8 points. It's pretty big. I think that the COVID stuff had a little bit to do with that. Over-under is 57 as we sit here today, according to William Hill. That's about right. You know, they're expecting a game, 30s, 20s, somewhere around there. So we'll see how that all goes down. But 8-point favorites at home, on the road for them. Pretty amazing. So we'll see how that all works out. But we're bringing on now our guest that we usually have on Thursdays, and that, of course, is Mr. Evan Grote. Evan is the host of the very popular podcast Just Pod Baby, which you can find anywhere you get your podcast, whether it's Apple, whether it's Google, whether it's Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get it, go subscribe to Just Pod Baby, and you can listen to Evan's podcast usually twice a week, unless something comes up, because, you know, he's got a life, too. But Evan joins me now from our Western New York, Western, right? Is Western the proper way, or should I say Northwest? What should I say?
Nope, definitely Western New York.
There you go.
The correct way.
That's right. So Evan joins us. And Evan, what a week, man. I mean, every week there seems to be some COVID-related news around the Raiders. Now, it's happened to other teams, don't get me wrong, but it just seems as though between stuff out of their control and then some of the missteps that they've had, it just seems like it's just constantly a story every week for this team.
Yeah, it's not getting any better for sure. And, you know, we knew this was going to be an issue when the season started.
Yep.
I think, really, the NFL has gotten lucky to get this far along, week 11, without any real major disasters happening with the schedule. So, you know, they're going to continue to plow through, and hopefully they can get this season in.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What about all this bus crap? I mean, I don't buy that much into it. I don't know if you saw Max Crosby had an interview yesterday with Colin Cowherd, where he said they were in the bus and they were driving around and they're like, what the heck's going on? We just went by here once before. So the players knew nothing about it, which tells you It wasn't a planned victory lap. Right. But yet that's how it's been played in the media. And then you got to wonder, did maybe Coach Gruden had a little bit to do with that story getting out there just to get in the heads of the Chiefs?
Yeah, there could be some coaches had games going on there, but I think it's being blown a little out of proportion. I think, you know, people in the media are looking for a story and coaches are always looking for ways to motivate their team. Although I don't understand why there's any needed added motivation this week with a rivalry game with the Chiefs and the Raiders. But, you know, whatever gets the guys going, the coaches know their players best.
Yeah, they do. And this game, Evan, I mean, clearly, as I just read out the line, 8 points in favor of the Chiefs. I think it's a much closer line. It was earlier in the week at like 3 because of the situation with the Raiders defense. But when you look at this matchup, you know, of course, everybody's talking about Andy Reid after a bye. He's so hard to beat after a bye and all this kind of stuff. And that's true. I mean, the data shows that is true. And you give him, he's a good coach. He has a good team. So they're going to make adjustments and they have more time. But I also see the other side of that coin, which is, hey, listen, you've been sitting on the shelf for a week. And yeah, you might be able to game plan. But now these guys got to come out in a hostile environment, even though there's no fans. They got to come to Las Vegas. They got to play in the Death Star against the Raiders, a very hot team themselves. And they have to suddenly go from zero to game day. And to me, that's one of the advantages that the Raiders have in this contest.
Yeah, I guess you could look at it as an advantage for the Raiders, but I could also counter that by saying, you know, the Chiefs have had a week to rest players who were injured, and they're going to be coming into this game much more healthy than the Raiders, especially when you look at what's going on with the COVID situation with the Raiders defense. And I know you don't want to make a whole lot about Andy Reid coming off the bye week, but there's something to it. I mean, the guy is very, very good.
Yeah.
And I think it's 18-3 coming off the bye.
Yep.
So, you know, it's, I would say that the Chiefs might have the advantage, honestly.
They do, but where's the positive in your message, Evan? I mean, come on, man.
Where are you? I'm a realist. I try to keep it real.
No. That's a realist is fine, but I look at this game, and as I said all week, and I don't know if you heard it, but I said, listen, if the Raiders win this game, it's huge. I mean, beyond huge for them, just in the steps they're taking to get this franchise and this team into a perennial playoff team that has a chance to win. Because look, you're in year 3 now of John Gruden. Really, year 1, he tore stuff down. Year 2, he started to put some bodies in. And year 3, now he's got a much better team, and they're going to be competitive for a playoff spot if things go as they are, right? So then you're looking at year 4, you should be way past just being a playoff team, but you should be competing for a better playoff seed. Okay. And then you have that window, right? Q and I talked about it yesterday. You have like a 2 to 4 year window when you build a team and you go for it all. And so to me, a win like this helps them get there pretty quickly. Then secondarily, though, if they lose the game, it's not a huge deal. They're still sit there at 6-4. They got to win 4 games on the back end, which they should be able to do. Okay, including 2, one against the Broncos in Denver, which is always tough, but also against the Chargers at home. So you look at the schedule and how it lays out, this a loss wouldn't be horrendous, but a win would be. Huge.
Oh, it's absolutely a huge game from a franchise standpoint. To go and
right.
beat the Chiefs, the defending Super Bowl champs, twice in the same season would be huge. But as you mentioned, if they lose, it's not the end of the world. They still did go into Arrowhead, a place that's been a difficult place for them to win recently, and win a big game there. So, like you said, they go if they do happen to lose the game, they go in 6-4. They were 6-4 last season. They didn't finish the season off well, but I think this year it's a different team. I think they'll handle business down the stretch of the end of the season here.
Well, especially since they're going to get healthier, right? I mean, you look at all the players they've had. Now, I said that 3 weeks ago too, but you look at the offensive line, and I'm not real favorable on seeing Richie Incognito anytime soon. But the rest of the guys, I do expect to be back, and the same on the defense. You get some of these guys over the COVID protocol, like Littleton, who's been disappointing, but maybe he can come along in the second half, and then the rest of the crew. And so unlike last year, Evan, and I think your point about being 6-4 at both times of the season, if they were to lose Sunday, is important because they were a 6-4 last year, and then they were dwindling towards the end of the year. They kind of peaked early. I think this year they're starting to now get into that peak as they hit the middle to late part of the year, and that's when you really have to do it in the NFL. It's like NCAA basketball in that sense, in that you want the hot hand at the end of the year, not at the beginning.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. You know, you don't want to peak too soon. And I don't think this team has peaked yet. I mean, you talked about injuries. Think about where the Raiders are, and they've done it without two of arguably their best offensive linemen, Trent Brown and Incognito. And they've kind of made it look pretty easy, to be honest. I mean, they're doing a nice job handling the losses to the offensive line. We'll see who is available this week on the defense. They may have to try to, you know, sustain some of those losses again, but you know, I think they've done a nice job at 6-3 right now, managing the injuries, the losses to COVID, and all the other things that have come along this season.
No doubt about it. Again, Evan Grote from Just Pod Baby is co-hosting with me for this bit of time here. You can follow Evan at egroat5 on Twitter, by the way. We're going to go out on the phone lines, bring in our good friend Raider Dave from Denver. Dave, you're on with Scott and Evan today. What's going on, man?
Hey there. Well, as far as this bus thing goes, I could easily see the team just winning and then running around its own field, you know, and just the whole team run around the field. And who knows, if Kansas City gets the win, maybe they'll do the same thing, but I don't think people would enjoy that if they did that on their own, on their home turf. But I wouldn't put it past them, you know. I just seriously would not put it past them. So here's the intangibles I think that need to play out. With the two starting offensive tackles for the Chiefs, I think I heard that they would not be playing. That's going to make it, again, having Mahomes run around like a crazed goon trying to get away from Hurst, who is back and wants to make a splash. He'd like to start every game, right?
Yep.
And then Max Crosby. So I heard some crazy stat that Mahomes ran like 1,000 yards or something, you know, just scrambling around. I don't know how many yards it was. Seriously, it was over 100, easy. But I think that's what's probably going to happen. And the intensity of all the contested catches we saw last week against the Broncos, and that could be because, you know, Locke was leading with his eyes where he was going to throw the ball. But that leads to more intensity of knocking the crap out of whoever is going to catch the ball, including Kelsey. He's got to meet the Abrams tank at least once or twice. And Kelsey can't get free releases. I don't understand it when it does happen. So with that, and holding off on and being careful about all the shallow crossing routes with Tyreek Hill, which I always akin to the rope-a-dope, where he's just going to jog across the field, and then Mahomes throws it in some unreachable spot, but it's all a timing thing where he'll just takes off, you know, and he'll be able to catch the ball and then scoop it and go upfield. Those are the kind of plays that I fear for any defense to try to stop. I've seen him do it before against other teams, and it just seems absolutely unstoppable because you think you're right next to the guy. And then you're not. And the ball seems like it's thrown to where nobody's going to catch it, and he gets there and makes a left-hand turn or whatever and goes up the sidelines. But on the other side, with the Raiders, you know that the Kansas City Chiefs' worst part of their defense is their run defense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what the Raiders need to do to keep Mahomes off the field, is keep on pounding it. So Gangster Raider can pray about 50-some points, which we would all love to see. But even if we had 5 turnovers, we didn't get that many points against the lowly Broncos. And I know we left, you know, 4 TDs on the shelf, but still, this is a much better team to play against. Yeah, they're coming in and wanting to get revenge, but I hope the Raiders' taste in their mouth of losing to Brady at home is still there, and they want to hold serve there. Now, this is the place where dreams come to die, and that dream of number one seed is what is on the pole for Kansas City.
No doubt.
Our dream of trying to get Kansas City to lose some game down the road and have the swing on the entire AFC West, well, that would give us a home game for the playoffs, which nothing would be better. And so don't say that there's really nothing riding on the playoffs with this, because there's two very big things. Their first seed in the playoffs to get a possible bye week, and our first playoff game as Las Vegas Raiders being a home game.
Yeah, Raider Dave, no, I agree with you. Great call, man. Thank you, as always, for calling in. And it's funny he brings that up, Evan, at the end there. Great, great call. Is that because I was talking to somebody else the other day, and we were wondering about the Raiders. When would the Raiders get a home playoff game? Because with the Chiefs in your division, and I'm not saying they can't beat the Chiefs and they can't win the division. I'm just saying right now the Chiefs overall where they're at is a different place than the Raiders are at, okay? And you start to look at that and think, well, geez, if you're not going to win the division for the next couple years, just saying, then when are you going to get a home game? But Raider Dave is going the opposite direction, and I see it and I like what he's saying, which is if they win this game Sunday, then suddenly you put yourself in the hunt to win that AFC West.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal. You want to try to win the division. And with when Patrick Mahomes in the picture, it looks like a difficult task. But the Raiders have a great opportunity this week to get themselves a little bit closer to that goal. It's a big game for both teams. The Chiefs, if they want to maintain only one game behind the Steelers for that top seed, mm-hmm. they got to win. The Raiders, there are six teams right now in the AFC West or AFC Division Conference, I'm sorry, that are 6-3. If they want to maintain pace in the wild card picture, they need to win as well, and it can inch them that much closer to the Chiefs in the division, only a game back with a win.
Yeah, game back, and then you start to. It's also very important that the Raiders keep winning against AFC opponents because of that way the AFC is lining up. You look at the Bills, you look at the Colts, the Dolphins. All of these teams are making it very difficult. So the wild card, you know, at one time you say, "Well, geez, 9 wins probably gets you in, even with the expanded format," but you might not. I mean, you might have to win the 10 games, right, to get into the playoffs on the AFC side.
I would say so. Yeah. It's close there right now, and there's still a lot of football to play, but they might need 10 wins. You're right about it. It's tight.
Well, not only that, Evan, but then remember the Raiders have to play the Colts, and they have to play the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's a couple of big tiebreaker games.
Yes.
Coming up, big
yes.
ones. They've already got the tiebreaker over Cleveland,
right.
which is huge, and they got a couple other big ones coming up.
Yeah. So that's the thing. And at one time in the season, you looked at the Dolphin game, you're like, oh, that's a good one. Right now, not so much. And Tua looks everything he was billed to be coming out of college and has gotten in there as a rookie and done really well. What do you guys think? 702-365-9200. Give me and Evan a call. Q's not here to make jokes about Evan sleeping on the couch or anything like that, but we're here to talk about it. By the way, Evan, I texted you this earlier. Like last night was the NBA draft, apparently. Is that right?
I didn't watch it.
Okay,
I did
good.
Not
so
see it. I know it was going on, but
yeah.
I didn't see it.
Are you not an NBA fan?
I'm a big college basketball
okay.
fan. I'm a big Kansas University basketball fan.
Oh.
But NBA, you know, I'll watch playoff time. I didn't watch this year. I couldn't get into the bubble with no fans. I just couldn't do it. I tried when the restart happened, could not do it. So I didn't watch any of the playoffs this year. But normally I'll get involved, during playoff time.
Yeah, I could care less. About the NBA, really. I'm, you know, yes, I'm on sports talk radio and all that stuff, and we talk, 99% of the time about Raiders football, but yeah, I just, it's my age. I'll be honest. I'm the old guy. Their audience is not me anymore because the basketball is different. And it's much more of a finesse. I mean, they're great players. Don't get me wrong. I don't take anything away from the talent of those guys in the NBA, but I grew up watching guys like Moses Malone and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and, you know, there was actually, like basketball in the paint. So I just can't get into it anymore, man. I'm so glad it's football season. When football season ends, we'll be in the middle of hockey. I actually watch more hockey now than I watch basketball. I watch college basketball too, but clearly we're a hockey town here in Vegas now. So it makes it much, much better. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue talking on with Evan. We're going to ask the question, if you've not taken part in our sided debate, our Raider Nation debate of the week, please go do so. You can download the app for free on whatever phone you have, the Sided app. And then you can also go up on the website, sided.co. We asked the question, Nicholas Morrow, playing so well, When Corey Littleton does come back from the COVID list, should Nicholas Morrow play more snaps and reduce the role of Corey Littleton because he has done so well? We'll talk about that in the next segment, but make sure you go up to Sided. We'll review the results tomorrow. We'll read responses. If you make a response up on Sided, you could get on the air as well, too. So you're with Evan and Scott here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
Yeah, you know, first off, he's a really good athlete. He's a really good route runner. He's really, you know, to go along with his athleticism, he's also a very savvy route runner. And, you know, he's one of their favorite targets. And, you know, their offense kind of revolves around a few players and him being one of them. You know, it's obvious when you just watch them play that Mahomes is very comfortable throwing him the ball. When plays break down, He looks downfield and then he looks to 87. So, you know, he just presents a challenge. This league is filled with really good tight ends, and you know he's one of the top ones. So, you know, excited for the challenge, but it doesn't really fall on one guy, like you said. You know, it's a team effort, kind of containing their offense as a whole.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Silver and Black Today, back with you on this Thursday. Scott Gilbranson, along with my special co-host, Evan Grote. We're talking Raiders. We're talking Chiefs. You heard Raiders safety Jeff Heath on the way back in talking about covering and defending Travis Kelce. And Evan, the guy's a load, man. I mean, you look at, he didn't have a great game against the Raiders in game one with the Raiders 40-32 victory. But you can't expect him to have another bad game. So you got to contain him as much as you can. And that's going to fall a lot to the guy we talked about before the break, which is Nicholas Morrow, who's playing in there for Corey Littleton. He's playing much better as of recent times. And it's not going to be just one guy. They split off, obviously, because of the scheme that Paul Gunther and the defense run. But Nicholas Morrow and the Raiders linebacking core, Nick Kwiatkowski, as well as that defensive backfield, however it may look, depending who comes back and who doesn't, they're going to have their hands full with that guy.
Absolutely. I looked at some of Kelce's career numbers, his splits against all the different teams he's played in the league. 6 touchdowns against the Raiders. That's the most by against any team. And he's had some big games, a couple 100-yard games last year, 100-yard game this year. So he's one, in my opinion, he's the best tight end in football, think. If I had to start picking a tight end, it'd be Kelce, no doubt.
No, and you can't, I mean, look, I understand Raider fans' feelings about Chiefs and Chiefs players and coaches and all that kind of stuff, because I'm seeing the memes all over social media, and I get that, and that's cool, but, you know, when a guy's that good, you just have to respect the talent, even if he's chirping at you and talking about the bus all week, which he's been doing a lot. But, you know, that's one of the things I think with this team is you're going to have to do it. But Nicholas Morrow, Evan, you look at what he's been able to do, you know, he was always, I think, a good reserve player. I just didn't expect him to step in as he has the last few weeks, but he's really shown, I think, quite a bit of improvement.
I think so too. And I was listening to Gruden's press conference from yesterday when he was asked about the offensive line, and he was talking about Brandon Parker and how he made the jump from a small school program to the NFL. Well, Nicholas Morrow did the same thing. He came from, I want to say, Division III football, if I'm correct.
Yeah, it is Division III, yep.
Which is even an even bigger jump to the NFL. So, you know, it may have taken him a couple years, but he has really developed now into a pretty serviceable linebacker.
Yeah, and they're going to count on him a lot Sunday against the Chiefs. Of course, that kickoff Sunday night football at Allegiant Stadium. The first time at Allegiant Stadium. It was supposed to be the second, but we all know what happened. So it'll be the first time that the Sunday night crew will be here in Las Vegas, which is big for our city too, which is teetering on another sort of at least small shutdown because of all this COVID stuff. So everybody here in Las Vegas, I know, is very, very excited about the game. By the way, our good friend Rich, who's a listener, tweeted at me about Paul Gunther and a comment Gunther made in today's press conference. I don't know if you heard the press conference, Evan, but one of the quotes was, "I don't know how we can beat these guys with a full lineup at practice. let alone with three quarters of your lineup not being here all week. And I hear what he's saying, but I think people are taking that too literally. I mean, I think what Paul Gunther was saying, hey, man, this is a tough team to beat even when you got all your guys, let alone not having all of them. And, you know, I just think, with all due respect to Rich and other people who may disagree with me, I think that people just don't like Paul Gunther, and anytime they can find something to read into and something that they want to jump onto, they do. And I just don't agree that that was literal. I think, you know, if you listen to the rest of the press conference, context is everything, where he talked about that, look, we're still going to strap it on, we're going to get out there, we're going to go. And so, you know, I wouldn't read too much into it.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, actually, and I see he's getting crushed. He's getting crushed by Raiders Twitter for those comments. Yeah, people are not happy. You know, he's already making excuses for a loss, that type of thing. You know, I think he understands the task that not having your defense there practicing all week against a team that has an offense like the Chiefs, that's a big factor in the game. And maybe he doesn't need to come out and say that. I think Raider fans are smart enough to understand that it's going to be a challenge. But, you know, he felt the need to come out and point it out.
Yeah, but I find it interesting that I remember after the Tampa Bay game, when the Raiders couldn't beat Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, there was a lot of, well, yeah, but we didn't have our, you know, the linemen didn't get to play all week. So now your defense isn't going to play all week, but now you're saying that how dare the coach intimate that, you know, not having those players hurts them? Of course it hurts them. So I don't understand how you can say one thing and not the other. That's my point. Where am I wrong?
Yeah, I think, you know, and going back to the fans and their reaction to it, I think sometimes, and I'm a fan myself,
yes,
but I think sometimes Raider fans only want to hear the positive of things, and they don't like the fact when people point out things that may be negative or maybe they don't agree with. They didn't like the fact that Gunther's maybe saying some things that they don't agree with, so they want to kill the guy about it. To me, it didn't really bother me. I didn't look much into it. Okay, you know, that's what he thinks. They're going to go out there and play the game, and that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, and context is everything. I get it. You pull out a part of a sentence, and it sounds worse than it actually is. If you listen to the rest of what he said, it was a little different. I think a much more balanced approach to it. So that's what I would invite people to do, is just go watch the press conference and then make up your decision. If you still think he sounded defeated, then okay, fine. Then I can say, okay, well, that's a point of view, and I can accept that, and that's great. But
and you know, who knows? Maybe he's trying to motivate his guys. You know, maybe it's a motivational tactic
could
for
be.
Him. Maybe he wants to let his guys know that their backs are up against the wall, they're the underdogs, and, you know, they're going to have to come out and do something special to win this game. So who knows? We don't know what's going on in his head.
No, we don't know. And some people just want his head on a platter. They don't care what's going on in his head, even though his defense the last three games has made, I think, pretty big improvements. And they're not all the way there yet, but they're at least getting better. And progress is progress. They've made a jump in the rankings from all the way near the bottom to, I think, they're at number 19 now. I said all along the goal should be to get to about 15 with the lineup they have. So we'll see if they can be able to do that. But who knows? All right. It's the top of the hour. Right, Evan? So we've already finished 1 hour, and we're going to go in the 2 hours, second hour here. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be joined by Levi Edwards. He's a digital reporter over at Raiders.com. We're going to ask him some questions about COVID, Evan, right? Because he works there.
Oh, more COVID? Come on. I'm so tired of COVID.
I know.
Oh, I just want it to go away.
I know.
But that vaccine can't get here quick enough.
Oh, for those who will take it. You know, there's a lot
I'll
of
be first
take
in
it.
Line, Scott. Well, yeah, sign okay. me up.
Even if it gives you like a third eye?
I'm married already, so it don't matter.
I love that. And then we'll also talk to him about the Jacobs Booker 1-2 punch the Raiders have in the backfield, as well as the Arden Key stuff as well. Then we're going to have a story. David Stepanian, our correspondent here at Silver and Black today, will join us, talk about Bo Jackson a little bit with Funny Thing, and then Vinny later, as always, at 3:40. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. You're with Scott. You're with Evan here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.